morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Good. Welcome. So we got a present up there. Sorry, I had Christmas wrapping paper, so, you know. But that's a reminder, a visual aid at the altar table there to remind us that we're talking about gifts. And we've been looking in this season at the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is a gift to us to be present with us. And that the Holy Spirit is a gift giver, giving us fruit, growing fruit in us. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit as found in Galatians. And now we're looking at spiritual gifts today. So my hope for today is that you can have an ear to listen, with a prayerful attitude of, Lord, is this a spiritual gift you are giving me by the Spirit so that I might build others up? And two, as you hear about the spiritual gifts, consider, Lord, is this a gift you're giving someone else in our faith community or some other Christian I know that I can encourage them to say, I see this in you, to call out gifts, spiritual gifts in Christian community. So I'll be up front to say today is really a teaching day, more than a sermon. You're going to be given a handout at the end, and that's for your own personal kind of discovery. And I'll say up front that spiritual gifts can be kind of discovered as you do like an inventory and look at it. And it's also really wise to seek Christian community. In other words, one another. So just like with a lot of things, right? We can have blind spots. Our perception of ourselves can be different than sometimes others perceive us. And so sometimes others see something in us that God is doing that we don't see. And so I'd also encourage you, if you're doing this inventory, to seek out a Christian friend or two, someone in our community, someone you trust. Kirk and I, either one of us would be happy to meet over coffee or whatever, to help you further discern spiritual gifts. We feel like this is a really important discipleship topic for you, and it's important also in the life of the church. Why? Two reasons. One, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we believe that the Holy Spirit gives gifts. And so I will unashamedly share my bias that I believe the Holy Spirit is living, active, and powerful still today to do wonderful things. Powerful things, sometimes miraculous things. And so we'll be talking about that today. And two, I want you to feel equipped, further equipped to recognize that you don't have to just be a pastor or an official church leader to be in ministry. Ministry can become just a lifestyle, things you do inside a church building, but way beyond a church building, right? Just in building other people up, reaching out to build the kingdom of God, to show the love of Christ to others. And so that can become part of just who you is and how you roll. How about that for bad English? Who you is and how you roll. Okay. Here we go. We're going to roll. So I'm going to kind of roll through these spiritual gifts. So let me give you, if you have notes, you may want to take them, or you may just want to make mental notes. You'll also get a handout later. So spiritual gifts are defined as extraordinary abilities that God gives to build up the church, the body of Christ, for ministry to its members and through its members to the world. Let me say that one more time. Spiritual gifts are extraordinary abilities given by God to build up the church, the body of Christ, for ministry to its members and through its members to the world. Now, important key about using spiritual gifts is our motives. And that's a heart discipleship thing. Spiritual gifts are not to be used to have some kind of spiritual one-upmanship, a pride. It's not to be used to be divisive, in the body of Christ. And it's not to be seen as a kind of self gain. If you see someone using gifts in that way, in football terms or soccer terms, we would say yellow card, right? In driving terms, we would say yellow light. Instead, spiritual gifts are to be used to love one another. They're to be used to serve, to build up, to increase unity, and to encourage one another. So I'm going to kind of rapidly go through a list of spiritual gifts. Now, where did I get my list? Well, I'm glad you asked. Okay, so there's some lists in Scripture. Romans 12, what Aaron just read, has a reference to spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, which we looked at last week, has kind of a list of spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4 also has a list in the Scriptures of spiritual gifts. I would submit to all of you that these lists are not meant to be comprehensive as much as to demonstrate that God is so big and so wonderful. There are a variety of gifts. And so if you look at the fullness of Scripture, you can even see some gifts that are elsewhere found in the Bible. So I'm going to have a very broad angle lens on spiritual gifts. Now, Bible commentators, theologians will discuss which ones are they narrow, is it broad. I'm going to be up front to say these are broad descriptions found throughout Scripture, backed up by Scripture, and I have scriptural references. So if you have any questions about any of this, I'd love to talk to you about it afterwards. And if you disagree with me on anything, well then, please forgive me. Okay. Administration, the first gift. Administration. This is the extraordinary ability to organize, coordinate people and material effectively to reach objectives and goals consistent with God's plan for the church. In other words, administrative gifts are directional and managerial in ministry. A great example of that can be found in Acts chapter 6. Those of you who have been in a Bible study downstairs can think of the seven deacons who are set apart to do some extraordinary work to help others. That can be found in Scripture. The next gift, apostle. Apostle can be defined as an ambassador or a herald who forms a strong attachment to the personality, teaching, and influence of Jesus Christ, and then spreads the teachings and the virtues of Christ. You can find an example of this in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Another good Bible character example of an apostle would be Paul. Often apostles are people who are going out. And so sometimes you find them in the local church, and sometimes you find them in extraordinary kind of mission activities. The next gift, healings. Healings, the extraordinary ability God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to cure conditions that hinder effective ministry for Christ, for the church, or for individuals. Healings. You can find that throughout Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, verse 28 are some examples. The next one, knowledge. The extraordinary power to understand the universal and timeless truths of God and link them with the church in its ministry through Christ for righteousness and justice in the world. Knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12, 8. Is a good example. I want to highlight that knowledge is not the same as being a smart person. It's a God-given gift of knowledge to build up. The next one, wisdom. Often wisdom and knowledge are paired together, not necessarily. Wisdom is the extraordinary ability to make concrete and specific applications of divine knowledge received directly from God. From someone else who has a gift of knowledge. In short, wisdom is a practical application to knowledge. A practical application to knowledge. Someone who might say something simple that's profound. This is referenced in 1 Corinthians 12, especially verse 8. The next gift, the gift of tongues, otherwise known as prayer praise language. This is the extraordinary ability to pray and to praise God with beneficial wordless phrases or utterances not familiar to others, to themselves, with such joy-filled intimacy with Christ that faith is strengthened and ministry becomes effective. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10 and 28. Now, I need to pause and say something about the gift of tongues. This spiritual gift, it has been, over church history, one of the most divisive gifts in the body of Christ. There's been lots of arguments about it, and so much so that even in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, Paul writes to the church in Corinth to deal with controversies surrounding the gift of tongues and its use. So I just want to highlight very briefly that Paul affirms the gift of tongues. He talks about how he has a prayer language to God, and he affirms the gift of tongues, but he says that tongues needs to be carefully used, not to be divisive, but to build up. So I would say that the gift of tongues is one that we need to be careful with, but also I also want to affirm it. There are whole denominations that will form around the gift of tongues, and that's a very big emphasis in some Pentecostal churches. And then there are other denominations who say the gift of tongues was for Acts chapter 2 and no longer in use. I would be of the opinion, hopefully based out of Scripture, that it's an active spiritual gift for us today. But is a gift that we need to carefully learn so that we use wisely. More on that. A next spiritual gift is one that's tagged or connected with the gift of tongues, and that's the interpretation of tongues. So it's someone given an extraordinary ability to hear, to comprehend, and then translate a spiritual message given by someone else in an unknown language. In short, interpretation is to help clarify spiritual messages. So that's why Paul exhorts that if someone speaks in tongues in public worship, you need somebody to stand up and interpret it so that everybody in the body can understand and be edified. I know I'm going fast, but I'm going to keep going. Helps. The extraordinary ability to aid others in need in such a way that the giver receives as much as the receivers get. You can see this scripture reference in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. People who have helping gifts love to love on others and help them feel important. The next gift, similarly, is service. Service. The extraordinary ability to elevate needed ministry or acts that aid the church or another person to holy and sacred acts of worship without concern or desire for rank, popularity, or recognition. In short, performing ordinary tasks while focusing on God. Look at Acts 9:36 and the Bible character of Dorcas for this example. The next spiritual gift, battle. The extraordinary ability to use spiritual, physical, and psychological energies and forces to confront and to defeat evil that hinders the church's call and effectiveness to do God's will. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2 is a good example. And back in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 6, 15 through 17 is a good example of Elisha and battle. The next one can be called the gift of discernment or the discernment of spirits. This is the extraordinary ability to know good and evil, right and wrong, and what is from human origin or divine grace. This knowledge is not merely for being hard with something, it's more for protection and for the health of the body of Christ. You can see discernment in 1 Corinthians 12:10. People with this gift tend to have a sense of prayerfulness and spiritual intuition. The next one, craftsmanship. Craftsmanship. The extraordinary ability to use physical materials and artistic skills to create, to mold, to carve, to sculpt, to draw, to design, to paint, etc., for spiritual nurture. In other words, someone with a craftsmanship gift is a herald, a communicator of the good news in a creative form. Exodus 36, 1 through 3 is a great example of this when the Spirit of God is poured out on people to build the temple of God. Hospitality, next gift. The gift of hospitality is an extraordinary gift God gives certain persons to extend caring and sharing to strangers beyond their intimate circle to share and establish an inclusive companionship for Christ. You can see this in 1 Peter 4, verses 9 and 10. Hospitality. Evangelism, the extraordinary ability to give such a witness to the love of God as expressed in Jesus Christ that it moves others to accept that love and to become a disciple of Christ. Ephesians 4 and 11 is a great example. So like a lot of these gifts, we're all called to be ready to share a word about Christ, a well-timed word of truth and grace. But people with the gift of evangelism find themselves bubbling up to talk to others about Jesus. The next gift, martyrdom, the extraordinary ability to stand firm on divinely inspired convictions and divinely directed ministries without equivocation or self-aggrandizement. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. I don't know, do you want to pray for the gift of martyrdom? As a little humor, a little dry humor. But obviously, if you look through church history, there were those who felt a particular call to die for their faith, for their conviction, and I would say experienced a great strengthening grace by God to stand firm in that scenario. Humor. Humor, is that a spiritual gift? You can see it with an eye in 1 Corinthians 12:12-24. It's defined as the extraordinary ability to bring laughter and joy to situations and relationships, to relieve tension, anxiety, conflicts, and to heal and free emotions needed for effective ministries. This is not the same as someone who is a comedian or tells jokes. This is someone who uses humor to encourage the body. Exhortation. The extraordinary ability to inspire, encourage, and strengthen others in and through their efforts to live out God's will and calling as Christians in pain and pleasure, want and plenty. In short, helping be there for one another. Romans 12:8. The Acts character Barnabas is a good biblical example of an exhorter. The next spiritual gift, pastor. The extraordinary ability to carry varieties of spiritual, physical, and social concerns for groups and individuals over time and circumstances with effective caregiving. In short, they are a shepherd. Now, pastor is not the same as the office of pastor. It's a spiritual gift, and it's my experience that usually in any local church, there's more than one person with this gifting. Because it's a gifting of kind of coming alongside and nurturing people within the body. Ephesians 4:11-14 is an example of the shepherding or the pastoral gift. Prophecy. Prophecy is the extraordinary ability to link biblical truths with God's will for today and to be an instrument for revealing or interpreting previous or current messages from God for living in today's world. In short, it's about revealing and making known vital information for spiritual living. 1 Corinthians 12:10-29. About prophecy, I would say there's two kinds of prophecy. There's a forthtelling and a foretelling. Forthtelling is the main use of prophecy. Foretelling can be seen in preaching and in teaching. It's any time someone effectively points people to Christ. It's a foretelling of what Christ has done in a way that connects to people. Foretelling prophecy is when someone's given a God-given ability to see something into the future and to make an announcement that then comes true. And you can see this throughout the Old and New Testament, signs of prophecy. The next one, giving, generosity, the ability to manage one's resources of income and time, energy and skills to exceed what is considered reasonable standard for giving to the church, to give an amount that brings joy and power to do more for future and further service. In short, generosity helps build the kingdom. Somebody says, yes, I'd like to make more money so I can use the gift of generosity. Why not? Next one, intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer, the extraordinary ability to know when and how and for whom and for what to pray with effective results. See James 5, verse 14 through 18. My mother had this gift. She could spend hours in her chair interceding for people. It's a powerful gift. Now, we're all called to pray, but some people have an extraordinary ability, God-given ability, to be intercessors. Next one, faith. I know we're going fast. You hanging in here? Faith. Now, hopefully, in Christ, we're given a common grace gift of faith. This is a spiritual grace gift of faith, defined as an extraordinary ability beyond saving faith to serve individual and corporate needs related to the larger body of Christ. It's someone who's gifted with a strong seeing conviction. Abraham in the Bible is a good example of someone with a strong faith. Suffering is the next spiritual gift. I don't know. Do you want to pray for the gift of suffering? The extraordinary ability to endure hardship, pain, distress with such an amount of joy and strength that you inspire others to endure their suffering and to lead others to accept God's redemptive love. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. I think you could see Paul as an example of someone who endured great suffering with such a great joy that he used even the suffering to point others to Christ. The next one, voluntary poverty. Voluntary poverty. An extraordinary ability to live a simple life, unencumbered and free from material responsibilities in order to devote large amounts of time, energy, and resources on other essential ministries. 1 Corinthians 13:3 or 2 Corinthians 8:9. St. Francis of Assisi or Mother Teresa might be examples of people who took on a grace gift of voluntary poverty as a way to serve and build up others. Singleness. Singleness. Now, not everyone who's single has this spiritual gift, but it can be a spiritual gift because it can be defined as an extraordinary ability to offer God and the church a life unbound by marriage and free of sexual frustrations or social attachments, so that one may spend their time and energy necessarily for a specific ministry to build up the church. 1 Corinthians 7, 7 or 32 through 35. Teaching, the extraordinary ability to discern, to analyze and deliver biblical or other spiritual truths to help others comprehend and accept the calling God has for their life to live justly and righteously. 1 Corinthians 12:28. This is a communication and a discipleship gifting. Leadership. an extraordinary ability to envision God's will and purpose for the church, and to demonstrate persuasive skills to capture the imaginations, energies, skills, and spiritual gifts of others to pursue and to accomplish God's will. Romans 12:8. The next spiritual gift, missionary, an extraordinary ability to cross over boundaries such as race, color, creed, language, geography, culture, to serve the physical, psychological, social, and spiritual needs of other peoples. Acts 13:2-12. This is not just a professional missionary office. This is someone who feels a spiritual gifting to intentionally cross cultural boundaries with the love of Christ. The next spiritual gift, spirit music. The extraordinary ability to receive and to share musical lyrics and tunes as messages from God to help others experience Christ's love, to inspire them, and to win others to Christ. See 1 Corinthians 14:15 or 2 Chronicles 5:11-14. So this is not the same as someone who has been trained in music. It's someone who's been given a God-given gift. People with this gift often talk about hearing a melody or feeling being compelled to play or to sing something specific. The next one, exorcism. Exorcism, the ability to use means of faith, prayers, spirit music, other gifts to liberate and free other people from evil-centered forces so they may be in effective ministry and free in Christ. Exorcism. Scriptural reference, Acts 8:6-8. I would say of exorcism, that's a spiritual gift that needs much practice and study, not something just to wander into and just try on your own. Miracles, the extraordinary ability God gives to some persons to do powerful works that transcend our perceptions of natural laws and means. 1 Corinthians 12:10. Just attend Kirk's Bible study in Acts if you want to learn more about general miracles that were happening all the time. Powerful works that point people to the glory of God. Moses in the Old Testament facing off with the magicians is a good example of miracles. Mercy, otherwise known as compassion. This is the extraordinary ability to feel and to act with genuine empathy for those who suffer distressing physical, emotional, mental, social, or spiritual pains. Romans 12:8. Now, all of us are called to be merciful, to have compassion, but there are some in our body who have particularly giftings with mercy that compel them to act. So that's a big, long list. I know I've gone fast. I want to show you my reference. This is a book by Charles Bryant, and he also has a companion book called Rediscovering Our Spiritual Gifts. He has studied spiritual gifts intensively, has been a frequent author around the world and speaker, and so I used his material as a resource. He's an Upper Room publisher. So I have a few of these copies. I don't have enough for everybody, but if you want to take one, take a look. I'll leave these up here. But Mikhail, I might ask you to help hand out, see how many we have. These are your spiritual gifts inventory. So this is for you to do on your own. It's not a test. It's not, this is how to get an A. It's not like that. This is just to help you to discern, what is God pouring into my life that I might serve others? I am not primarily sharing this with you today to get you busy in church. I'm primarily sharing this with you today as a way to equip you to know that you too are called by God to be in ministry. That may look very different than it does for me, and that's totally okay. But I am a firm believer that the Holy Spirit longs to give gifts to you and through you to others. The Holy Spirit longs to give gifts to you and through you to others. So that's the inventory. In these books, there are the descriptions, the definitions, just like I share today. So if anybody wants to take one of these home, you're welcome to study the scriptural references. Okay, what is hospitality? What is leadership, etc., and further acquaint yourself with these spiritual gifts. And I see this as a great opportunity. So again, I put out the offer. If you would like to sit down over coffee or a meal or whatever, I'd be happy to set up time just to talk with you further about spiritual gifts. I'm sure Kirk would as well. Or feel free to reach out to others who know you well to help you discern your spiritual giftings. This can be a real blessing in your life. I can personally say, when I sense God using me to build up others, right, in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a joy. And that's when ministry and being a Christian is just a joy. When I'm just trying to do something and I'm like really terrible at it, like running a printer, I have no joy. But when it's something that God's given me a gift with, it energizes. It's an energizing thing. So I submit to you spiritual gifts for your prayerful consideration. And now, because of time, I'm going to keep prayer time brief, but I'd like us to go to prayer. Almighty God, thank you that your Holy Spirit has come not only to be with us, but to give us gifts to not only bless our lives, but to bless others. God, that you would so love us that you invite us to join you in ministry to the world. We marvel at that. That you would trust us to love on others. And so, God, now we come to you with all that we are and all that we're learning. And we got say, come, Holy Spirit, come afresh in our lives. Fill us. Speak to us, equip us about spiritual gifts. Just take a moment in the silence. Listen to the Spirit of God. If you have something you want to talk to the Lord about, just take a few minutes of quiet.